Okay, so the Ramban wrote this letter to his children from a distance. The Ramban was traveling to Eretz Yisrael, and he still had family back in Spain. And this is what we would call an ethical will, where he was instructing them the principles, you know, that he wanted to convey to them because he wouldn't necessarily ever see them again. And nevertheless, it was important that he would impart the basic principles that the Ramban felt were so critical for his for his passing on to the next generation. The Avodas Hashem. Shema b'ni Musar Avicha v'altitosh Torah Simach. This is a pasuk in Mishlei. Shema b'ni Musar Avicha, listen to the Musar of your father. He's giving Musar to his children. So he starts with Shema b'ni Musar Avicha v'altitosh Torah Simach. First, we'll talk about what the difference between Musar Avicha and Torah Simach is. We're not going to focus on that right now. But there's a difference in the relationship between a father and a mother, and, you know, respectively with children, and each one has a different aspect to offer and to convey. But we're going to start with the actual words of the letter after that introduction. Thank you, Rami. Tisnai tamid ledaber kol dvarecha benachas l'chol adam uv'chol eis. That's how we introduced it yesterday. Tisnai tamid, okay, what's tamid? That means always. So that's number one. Kol dvarecha, all of the matters you speak about. L'chol adam, to all people, v'chol eis, and every time. So four, there's four kols. All times, to all people, no matter what it's about, and tamid, consistently. Has to always be like that. Always be like that. There's no exceptions. Again, that's a pretty broad-ranging statement that there's no exceptions. There's no exceptions. B'zeti notam anaka'as. What's the purpose of speaking benachas? What do we accomplish by speaking benachas? So Ramban says this is going to be the first step in a chain reaction where you're climbing a ladder, and unlike other areas of growth and development, each stage needs its own focus and building. He says, here's a shortcut. This is something which if you internalize step one, it's just going to naturally lead to step two, step three, step four, and so forth. Not that any of those are easy, especially step one, but it can be done. So the first to'elas, when a person is able to master or even make significant ground in speaking benachas consistently, you will be saved from kas. Not a coincidence the Ramban uses the lashon tinutzel manakas, right? Saved from kas. Obviously intimates that kas is a real threat. It's something that we need to be saved from. It means that there's a danger there. So if you are in the habit of communicating like an even-keeled equilibrium that you are enveloped by, you're not going to react harshly. You're not going to overreact, for sure, to something which doesn't require that type of response, because you've already adopted a behavior where if I talk to you benachas on a general basis, as that becomes part of my second nature, that even when there's some unexpected situations, but I've already locked in tamid kol dvarecha l'chol adam chaleis. Continues Ramban. Shemidah roh l'hachti b'nei adam. Why are we making this attack on kas? Because it's a serious, serious cause for sins. We could go on for about this forever, but when a person is bekas, the Gemara already says that he could do something like be ovid avodah zarah. What's the shaychus? How do you go from anger and midos to avodah zarah? The answer is when you're not in control, when you don't exert that restraint, when there's nothing that can hold you back from maintaining your menschlichkeit, when there is no restraint, so then you literally, one thing leads to another. That phrase, is so often used, but what it really means is I was not putting in the effort to maintain control, whatever the situation was. Anyone who gets angry, all forms of Gehenim rule over the person. So, what do you mean? I'm here in this world, I'm not in Gehenim. So it's possible to live in Gehenim in this world. It's possible to live in Gan Eden and experience Olam Haba in this world. But it's also possible to live in Gehenim. We just don't see it as Gehenim because we don't really know what Gehenim is. But we've all heard descriptions of Olam Haba that don't necessarily include, little red guys with pitchforks and fire. And on the other hand, we also, you know, have heard descriptions of Gan Eden that aren't, you know, necessarily pearly gates and whatever, you know, clouds and harps and angels, because that's all just, you know, what we have in our head from cartoons. But, you know, the muscle that people say, that Gehenim is going to the most delicious smorgasbord you've ever seen, and your elbows don't work. Okay? Just try to picture that for a second. Okay? Now, it has to sink in, but like that, thank you, Avi. That was the desire, the great pull and attraction and not being able to do anything about it, right? So if for you, all that you hoped for in life was getting there in time for the smorgasbord, so then, you know, so maybe that's Gehenna for you. For other people, that's not Gehenna. That's a great way to diet, you know? But, and for other people, Gan Eden will be, you know, a shtender and above a comma and, you know, glass of tea, coffee, whatever it happens to be. Okay, so in this world, you can experience Gan Eden, and you can experience Gehenna. A person who suffers from a lack of self-restraint in their mood and their anger, life is actually not as enjoyable as it could be. It's not as enjoyable as it could be. I'm always getting angry. I'm always agitated. I'm always worked up. People aren't proud of that. No one's happy about being angry. It means that they're not benachas. It means that they're not calm. They're not, I need a vacation. You know, everyone around me is getting me upset. Okay, that means that if you're subject to that response, then, okay, you're not living the best life you could be living. Okay, now we're moving on to step three. Zakta Ramban, when you are saved from kas, tala alibcha. Again, I think the lashonos are very meduyik. Tala alibcha. What does that mean? The midah vanava is going to just arise in your heart. It's almost automatic. If a person doesn't get angry, it's almost natural for them to become humble. Now, if a person is humble, they can prevent themselves from anger. That's for sure. But the Ramban says, if you are able to overcome those situations that for other people would incite your anger, so then you're basically making a statement. You may not articulate it from your mouth, but your neshama is exuding the following principle. Something that should have gotten me upset, something that got another person upset, did not get me upset. It means that I didn't allow, I'm recognizing, I'm affirming, and I'm proud of the fact, proud, we'll use that term loosely, that just because things didn't go my way, that's okay. Who says they're supposed to always go my way? Who says that I'm always able to expect this person is going to act to me in one way or the other? It's not an expectation that I can necessarily have. Why? Because I'm a human being. I'm a simple person. I don't have command of my life and my circumstances. That's in the hands of Hashem, right? So if you actually think about what's going on when you resist that anger, it's a transformative approach to everything around me. Donna, you hear this? It's not much like you could change a person into a tzaddik. She midah tova and kol midos tovas. And the Ramban says the midah we're learning about right now, anava, is the midah tova of all midos. Anger, on the one hand, he said, is the worst. Midah ra lahachdi b'nei adam. And here we have the midah tova mikol hamidos tovas. Wow. So it's not a surprise that in Mesillas Yesharim, it's chapter 22 out of 26. Because if you're going to have to work your way up all the way to the end of the sefer to get to the midah v'anava, we like to think that it's really up there on the top of the ladder. Eigav anava yiras Hashem. Next step. Okay, the Ramban says this is just mamish. One midah after another are going to naturally integrate into who you are. Eigav anava yiras Hashem. On the heels of humility comes Yerushalayim. On the heels of anava comes Yerushalayim. Bavor hanava tala alibcha midas hayira. When a person is able to achieve anava, again, tala alibcha, it's just going to, like, it's effervescent. You know what that means? Just going to bubble over, right? You don't have to put in so much energy. It just comes to, it rises to the top. The Yerushalayim will rise to the top of a person's heart if its underpinnings are the anava that you achieve by resisting anger. Ramban goes one step further with a practical etzah from Pirkei Avos. We'll stop with this. He says, "Ki sitena libcha tamin me'ayin basa, ul'an atoholech." When you address your heart to pay attention, tamid, again, the Ramban says this is tamid. Ramban gives us a high bar to reach for. The first time he says tamid, second time he says tamid, but the goal is that it should be so much of your personality that you don't need to activate it, but it's going to be there. Tamid, to think me'ayin basa, where you come from. La'ana taholech, where I'm going, v'sha'ata rima v'soleh b'chayecha v'af kiv moscha. Where are you going? You're going to end up in the ground. You're going to end up in the grave. As depressing as that is, to reflect on the fact that rima v'soleh b'chayecha, even while you're alive, you're as weak as worms and insects. Af kiv moscha. So, certainly true when a person is dead, when they're powerless. V'mi'ata osit li'tein din v'cheshman melech. Where am I going? Ultimately, I'm heading towards the great judgment that will only take place before the Bon Shalom himself, the Melech HaKavon. After you give real thought to these ideas, then a person will stand in front of the Bon Shalom with Yira and be guarded from Chet. So it's not clear in the Ramban. We have to think about it. You know, is this afterwards or this is before? I mean, he says that this is what you need to do. This is what you need to do after, right? Tala alibcha midas hayira. He says that's going to come as a result of anava. Ekev anava yiras Hashem, as the pasuk says in Mishlei. Ekev anava yiras Hashem. On the heels of anava, the Yiras Hashemayim is going to come. But then he says, you need to be thinking these thoughts. So apparently, that's going to be part of anava. The more that a person's anava focuses on, like the Mesillas Yesharim said, the lowly beginnings of a person, the very tentative, we'll say, and shaky future that we're headed towards, so that will guard a person from chet. That's part of the process of moving from anava to yira, but this is a little more of an active component that a person has to. It may come naturally when they're steeped in anava and when they're improving their yira, but it's still something that a person has to put effort into, to think about where I'm coming from, where I'm going, and so forth. Just close for today. Back to Avi, please. I think, I'm not sure if I mentioned it to you before. Rami, can you give me the sitter, please? So while this is still, bless you, a very important Mishnah, I'm sure you guys are familiar with it, you know it by heart. Kaveh ben Mahal Omer. Another thing to note, the Ramban doesn't reference who says it, where it comes from. He integrates it without even attributing it to the author. There's a halacha l'maisa lima from that. But in Pirkei Avos, you can know this, but it's still something that people shy away from because it sounds a little bit depressing. It sounds a little bit of a, you know. But it's correct. That Mishnah, that's the first Mishnah in the third parak of Pirkei Avos, and that's what the Ramban just quoted. But it's sort of like a doomsday approach to life, you know. It's kind of depressing. I would have thought this is the most depressing Mishnah in the entire Pirkei Avos. Look at three things. Eina tabali de'avera. Great. Okay, I understand the strategy, but it's hard for a person to walk around, you know, weighing on their shoulders this notion that I'm headed to the dirt. I'm Rima Vesoleya, and you know, I'm going to have to present myself before the... It's a little bit scary. So, Hashem once gave me a matana. I think there may be something more to this Mishnah. The reason why we look at this Mishnah with a narrow focus and a depressing perspective is because... Can I say this once? It's the first Mishnah of that parak. Right? How do we learn Pirkei Avos? So many people learn one parak every week. The weeks between Pesach and Shavuot is the summertime, right? So we have like a snapshot of the Masechta, each parak at a time. Now we know that Chazal, even if sometimes it seems like we're jumping randomly from one topic to another in Shas, there's an organization, there's a system, there's a Masechta, that contains certain topics for certain reasons, chooses the Meiri in his introduction to pretty much every Seder of Shas and every Masechta. He talks about why it is that the Masechta is ordered in that place in Shas, in that place in the Seder. Okay, I'm not talking about a perek per se, but still there's a sequence. We darshan the smichas aparshis all the time. You know, why is Nazir right next to Sota? The partials, right. The partials we have a Mesorah on. The chapters are Christian. But I'm saying the Meiri looks at every perek in Shas, tells you why that perek and that Mesechta is organized the way it is, and why it's organized that way in the general Seder, Nezikin, and Noshim, and Kodshim, why it finds its place in that order. So we'd imagine that there's a Seder to the Mishnayos as well. So one Mishnah to the next Mishnah, there's going to be perhaps some sort of connection. Obviously, a lot of what's going on in Pirkei Avos was chronological, because we're just moving down the lines to chain the Mesorah from Moshe Kibbutz Torah Misinai till later in the period of the Tanaim. But maybe there's a connection that we don't see, because it bridges the gap, or the bridges the layover from the second parak to the third parak, right? But since we're not accustomed to learning parak beis into parak gimel, so we don't see what precedes parak gimel to appreciate why it's maybe an introduction. So I think if you look at parak beis, the last mishnah parak beis, mishnah chav aleph, there's something very important that may actually shed light on parak gimel. Yissi, listen to this. So what do we say? Akavi ben mahal omer. If you look at three different things, where you come from, where you're going, and before whom you're going to give a din v'cheshbon, so then you won't ever come to an avera. What's the mishnah that immediately precedes it? It's Rabbi Tarfon talking, and Rabbi Tarfon is also giving you a list of three items: hu haya omer lo alecha hamalacha ligmor v'lo ata ben chorin libato mimena. Number one, it's not up to you to finish everything. You got to give it your best shot, but don't get depressed if you can't be everything and all powerful and all accomplishing. You're a limited human being. You're not expected to finish everything. But you're also not exempt from giving it your best shot.
Rabbi, is this referring to Avodas Hashem or just like work things?
Avodas Hashem. The malach over here means Avodas Hashem. I think that's clear. The previous Mishnah, also Rabbi Tarfon uses a similar imagery. Hayom katzar v'hamalacha meruba. Right? The day is short. There's a lot to do. Hapolim atzelim. People are lazy. Vaschar harbe, even though there's great salary, u'baal bayis dochek. And the baal bayis, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he demands a lot from us. So follows up Rabbi Tarfon for the next Mishnah saying, but don't worry, it doesn't mean you have to finish everything. Lo alecha malacha ligmor, as great as that malacha is. But you're also not exempt. You can't be like the polim atzelim. And then he says, u'lamad tator harbe, nosam l'choschar harbe. If you've done what you're supposed to do, you learned a lot of Torah, don't worry, you're going to get a tremendous amount of schar. And it's going to come in the next world. Rabosai, those three items parallel perfectly the three items in the Mishnah at the beginning of the third parak. Dame ayin basa, look where you come from, such humble beginnings. Mamish, atipa srucha, nothing. But you know what? As lowly as your beginnings are, take solace in the fact that you're not expected to be Superman, right? Lo alecham lo chaligmor. It's true you have humble beginnings and you need to remember that, but part and parcel is an understanding that it also means I don't have to have expectations that are too great for myself, because that can also be disconcerting and disillusioning. Number two, what's number two? Lo ata ben chorin libato mimena. You're also not off the hook. Zuck the next Mishnah. La'ana taholech l'makom afer rima v'soleh. You're going to a place. You're going to be 6 feet under, which means that you're going to run out of time. It's now or never. Whatever you can accomplish, appreciate that your opportunity to do so will not be forever. This is your opportunity. Chaparayim. And finally, before whom are you going to give a din v'cheshbon? What was the third element of the previous Mishnah? Third element was, if you learn a lot, you're going to get a tremendous amount of schar. And nemenu bal malachtecha, your bal abayis. The Melech HaKavod, Melech Malchei HaMelechim, before who you're going to give judgment, it's not just bad. Judgment doesn't only mean bad, it means good. Ne'manu Baal Melechim, he's going to give you that schar. Yishalim Lucha Schar Pukhla Secha. He'll provide you with everything you deserve. And it's in the future. It's not for now. It's in the future. So that last element of that is so empowering, and it gives us a great sense of anticipation. There's something to look forward to. So every one of those components has its parallel in the previous Mishnah, and what was previously the most depressing Mishnah in Pirkei Avos is really the most inspiring, because whatever obstacles and challenges I have, there is something to look forward to. There is an engaging motivation, and there's an understanding that as long as I do the best I can, that schar is waiting for me. Yeah. Adam.
How do you measure and recognize